CliffCentral.com.
What is all? What are you laughing at already, Pumelela? It's not even that early in the morning yet. All right, it's just after 6 o'clock, everybody. It's time for us to be live with you again on a Tuesday. I know it feels like it should be a Monday, but
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, yesterday I know yesterday was everything but it, but freedom. But it was Freedom Day yesterday, in case you didn't know.
So,
yeah, how did you How did you feel in on Freedom Day?
Like the Queen song. That's how I.
Yeah, exactly. You want to break free. Now, Pums, you said you haven't been out of your house in how many weeks?
I don't even remember, Garrett. I went to the spice shop like 2 weeks ago, but I've been at home. I've been a
the
very
spice shop.
The best spice shop in Joburg.
Where is it?
It's in.
Is that the one in?
Are you even?
That's not the one in Fitas that you go to for slop chips, is it?
No, that's the slop chip shop. That's
I'm going to ask. I was even going to ask. Do you even feel comfortable telling us because you're revealing trade secrets if it's the best in Johannesburg?
Dude, I got there and I was quite like, I actually was feeling a little bit stressed because it was Saturday afternoon and I was wondering if they'd be open. I got there and there was a queue outside to get
kidding.
Into the spice shop. It's one of those, like people travel there and you can get any spice there. And if you don't find it on the shelf, if you ask the auntie, right? And it's like, it's an auntie, a Muslim auntie.
Right.
And her husband that run the shop, she will get it for you.
Are they Durban spices at Durban prices, or do you pay Joburg prices for these spices?
They are. I don't know because, like, I don't buy spices anywhere else, so I don't
have
a benchmark.
Gareth, you just wrote their marketing campaign there.
I know, it's
Durban spices for the right prices.
Yeah, I'm telling you. Listen, I've got to ask all of you because everybody's families are behaving very differently around this coronavirus. So Pumi's got an old grandmother. Pums, how old's your grandmother now? She's
95.
Yeah, okay, so she's 95 years old.
Wow.
Yeah, so you know, she kind of knows about the lockdown, but her whole life is a lockdown now because she struggles to walk and she still lives by herself. She won't have anybody in her house. She won't have any kind of help. She doesn't want strangers around her. It's always such a fight. So my parents have to go to her house every single day. A, to check in on her, but also to bring her meals and all of that stuff. So it's quite a thing, right? Between the two of them, my mom and dad, they then have this rotation. One does it in the morning, one does it in the afternoon. And
wow, it's a full-time job.
Stuff. Absolutely. And so my grandmother listens to Ukhozi FM, of course.
Yeah.
And if it's not on Ukhozi, it's fake news. Like, it's got to be on Ukhozi, otherwise y'all are just making it up. So that's why I know that she knows about the lockdown kind of in her head.
Sure.
But so now, because of the lockdown, my dad hasn't been able to go to her as often. My mom can come and go because my mom, as you know, so she's got free reign.
Sorry, like we just missed the reason that your mom can go. It just cut out.
Because she's a nurse.
Yeah.
Because she's a nurse. So she can travel around. So my mom goes. So my grandmother, who most of her life was in apartheid South Africa, asked my mom where my dad is because she hasn't seen him in a couple of weeks. And she's quite worried if he's maybe been arrested.
Oh, shame, man.
And I couldn't actually understand this until I thought about it. And I thought, oh, well, of course, my grandmother comes from a time where people could be willy-nilly arrested for not having a pass, for being in the wrong place at the wrong time, for all sorts of things. So, of course, in her mind, if she doesn't see a person for a couple of weeks, that could be a reason.
Sure.
Why she's not around, why he's not around.
But she, also the fact that she thinks they're keeping it a secret from him, from her.
Shame, man. You know, like, Sia, I know your parents are watching nonstop news, and my dad does too. And I even played that clip the other day where I asked him, like, why are you watching this stuff if you hate it so much? And I think it's partly, like, they won't admit it, but it's partly fear. Like, they're afraid that if they don't know what's going on, they won't be able to do anything about it.
And it's also just old habits die hard.
Anyway.
Yeah, I think it's a bit of both. But they also, it's so, they like a bit of the drama, frankly.
Yeah,
I think they're into that a little bit. I've realized over the course of the last few days that there are people, and this isn't, I know this sounds stupid, and maybe it is stupid of me to have not been even, because I've been very blasé about this thing from the get-go, you know that. I've been kind of dismissive, and I've said, ah, well, if it gets me, it gets me, that kind of thing. But I haven't realized until this weekend, some people learn very slowly, you can call me stupid if you want to. Some people are really frightened by this thing.
What did you see? What did you experience?
No, I hear it. You see it on the news too. And I'm trying not to watch the news, but I did go and pop in to see my parents over the weekend. And they've got the news on all the time. And there are these people being interviewed on the news. And they're genuinely frightened. They're like, this virus is terrible. It's going to get us. We've got to stay in our houses. And it's like a... it's exactly what the president described, like the invisible enemy. And some people are genuinely, like, they're floored by this thing, you know? And I'm not talking about old people necessarily, like Pumi's grandmother, who's genuinely at risk because she's old, or someone who might have a comorbidity, a pre-existing condition, because those people should be afraid, at least as much afraid of that as they would be of, you know, any other disease that's extremely contagious and can take you out. But I know this sounds dumb, but for me it's a big realization, like, I didn't see that there were people who were actually afraid.
Are your parents afraid?
No, I don't think so. I think partly they don't like the stuff that comes with it. Like, I don't know if you saw that arrest of those Muslims who were busy praying in that mosque. Did you see that video clip? I mean, I'm just going to play you the audio and just listen to this, because I don't know if you guys can hear it in the studio, but when I play it, it's really for people who are listening. I just wanted to hear how the police address these people, because there's something very scary about this. And this genuinely gives you a reason to be fearful. I didn't want to get into this too early this morning, but we may as well get it over and done with so we can move on to the more fun stuff in the morning, because this made me very uncomfortable, and I'm sure it would you too. So it starts off the video with them walking over everyone's shoes. You know, you take your shoes off when you go into a mosque. And this masjid, this mosque, is in a house, as many in the suburbs are. And there are a mix of people. There are black people and Indian people in the mosque, Muslims busy praying. And this is what happens. Just listen to the sound. You don't have to worry about the picture so much, because it's just people walking into a room where you know, about maybe 20 Muslims are busy worshiping. All right.
And what's going on here? All of you down!
All of you down! All of you down!
What is happening here? You mean the president is crazy, eh? Huh? What is happening here? The president is mad, eh?
Huh? What is the president is crazy? Down, all of you!
Hey, wait, now we're not talking to you!
And they start shouting at these people, and they're saying things like, you think your president is crazy, eh? Huh? And you blix them, and, you know, it's like this is the language that the old apartheid police used to use. It made me think of what your grandmother must have thought when she hadn't seen your dad for a while, because this is how people used to address each other. And it's amazing how, like, we still have that, there's still that damage, you know? And you can hear it in these police people, because they're just acting out what they saw acted out on them when they were possibly children. And these are a bunch of worshippers. They're not... Sure, they might be spreading the virus, but that's inevitable, like I said so many times. To be treated like this is just frightening. And then there was a Muslim advocate who said...
For every time someone asked you if Kim was dead
Hello?
Or not...
Hello? What's going on there?
Sorry, that was one of my tabs playing.
I thought someone had changed their accent to American.
No, Siri was not joining the conversation.
Oh, Siri. No, so then there was this advocate, this Muslim advocate who said, you know what, go out and do what you want and worship whenever you like, and I will represent you for free, which then caused a whole lot of consternation. And if you're not in the Muslim community and if you're not paying attention to this stuff, you might not have even seen this story. But it brings into stark contrast the kind of, you know, now you have to weigh up people's religious rights against their health and not just their health, because they can decide for themselves what that situation might be, but the rules of the lockdown, you know?
So also, I mean, it is Ramadan started on Friday, was the first day. Mm-hmm. If you follow the Arabs and their timelines.
Right.
But a lot of South Africans only started Ramadan on Saturday, on the 25th.
Right.
And as most people would know, Ramadan is a very holy month, and there are a whole lot of tenets that go with it for Muslim worshippers. And prayers at this time in particular are very important. But the thing about it, which is for me, what I've watched with this pandemic and with all of the fear and all of the uncertainty that people have, particularly like on social media and stuff like that, is our inability to have nuanced conversations, right?
Yeah.
Everything is either black or white.
Right.
Either
exactly.
Or. And I was so fascinated. So I saw the video of the Muslim advocate, and it was so fascinating for me to watch, because even in the Quran, there is, I mean, it's not like pandemics are new.
No.
They're not a thing that comes with 2020. There is, even in the Quran, stories of when there were pandemics back in the day and what you should and should not do. And even in the Quran, it says that you should not travel. When there's a plague, when there's a pandemic or an illness in a place, you should not travel to that place or from that place if you are there when it breaks out and all of that kind of stuff. But it's so fascinating to watch how people need the stuff that they've always had. So
yeah.
Your parents watching their
more than ever. And religious people too. I mean, like there's going to be a massive increase in like cults, and we were joking with Gord the other day about this. But
absolutely.
Yeah, people need like something stable to anchor themselves to, you know?
And that's what these guys, and you cannot social distance. So over the weekend, obviously, like coming out of Egypt, coming out of Saudi Arabia and all of those places, all the various prayer sites where people are trying to social distance.
Yeah.
But also prescribed in the Quran how you should pray. There should be no spaces. People should stand shoulder to shoulder.
Right.
There should be no spaces between them. So you know, to go and try and social distance, but you can pray alone. And they, like in Emirantia here, which has a very big Muslim community, they have, you know how there's a call to prayer in the mornings, and you hear it kind
azan.
Of out in Cape Town, the azan, you hear it in Cape Town. The reason you don't hear it in most of these suburbs here in Joburg is because they actually have an intercom system where the azan is directly into your house.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Well, that's very sensible.
So if they wanted to pray together, they could pray together in the same way that we are together and not together. Mm.
Yeah, absolutely. But at the same time, I do think that, you know, the police came in there with a very bad attitude. And I think that's why there's such opposition. That's why this advocate who, I mean, he was like, his name is Zahir Omar. And he was furious. He said,
well, they've had a bad attitude everywhere since the beginning of the lockdown. We've watched them spilling. There were videos a couple of weeks ago.
You're talking about the police.
The police and the army spilling beer at some gathering in KZN, and the meat on the ground. They've had a bad attitude everywhere. And instead of addressing the fact that they've got a bad attitude.
Yeah. But then, you know, Begicele was slow to apologize for this disaster, because he actually quite likes a bit of authoritarianism.
But the police themselves aren't the issue. It's clear what we have. We have a systemic problem, because they're executing on a horribly outdated system, right? They're policing like it's the 1800s. So the problem is systemic. The police men and women on the front line are just following orders. They literally, you know, they are part of a horrible, horrible system. So empathy to them, actually, from my side. But
well, I did want to, while we're talking about nutcases, Sia managed to find me another clip of a guy called
another nutcase.
You know, well, this guy called Pat Robertson. You know, he's like an evangelical Christian, and he's one of the most powerful ones of all. No, but you got to hear this guy, because he says he knows where COVID-19 comes from. And you can already brace yourself for what you think he's going to say. But listen to this. Here's Pat Robertson. What I love about this show, Robertson, what I love about the show is he's got this old lady who sits there with him and asks the questions from the audience. And then he gives his really well thought through point of view. And, you know,
he's 90 years old.
90 years old. And God is preserving him, because he is a good man. So listen to this. Listen to this nutcase.
This is John Pat, who says, Pat, last week you were talking about COVID-19. You quoted Chronicles 7:14. How can God heal our land and forgive the sins when abortion and same-sex marriage are laws and many people are anti-Israel? Doesn't this prevent his healing and forgiveness?
You know, I think you put your finger on something very important.
Yeah.
You know, the Bible says it's turned from their wicked ways. It didn't get forgiven.
Yep.
They will turn from their wicked ways.
They will turn from their wicked ways. So he's basically saying this, the abortion people, the gay people, the anti-Israel people are the reason that we've got COVID-19.
Yes.
And he's
That's
not
awesome.
And he's not afraid to blame all three groups at the same time. Pat thinks these things through. I mean, listen, apart from taking your money whenever you least expect it, Pat's like asking for a donation. Just listen to how he justifies this.
And part of what we've done is turn. We are not turning. We have done terrible things. We have broken the covenant that God made with the mankind.
Yeah.
We have violated his covenant. We have taken the life of the innocent, slaughtered them by the tens of millions.
We have broken God's covenant. We have broken his covenant with the people, and tens of millions of people will die. He just loves this. You know, you want to hear people. There are some people who are taking huge joy and satisfaction out of this pandemic, and the majority of them are these doomsday prophets, and he's one of these. He's just like,
yeah, the end times is coming. People are going to die all over. It's going to be carnage. We're going to have the rapture. Only a few lucky ones will go up to heaven. The rest of you are fucked. You're going to be taken by the great Satan. You're going to be loaded onto that there bus, and you're going to be sent straight into the mouth of hell. You're going to burn there, and not just burn. You're going to be fucked in the ass. You're going to be fucked in the ass by some pretty mean demons. I tell you something, with horns. They got horns, and they got scales, and they got tails, and they're going to fuck you in the ass. That's what they're going to do. You just get rid of you.
This
evil,
is their time.
You evildoers. You think this is funny, but God sent this disease so that it would take the worst among us, the ones who sin and the ones who lie and the ones who blaspheme, and well, he's gonna fetch you while you're gonna think you're falling asleep, and you're gonna choke on your own fluids. That's the worst way to die, because God wants you to suffer.
Oh, okay.
You're an evil doing sucker. And you're going to get to hell. Then you're going to see some real nastiness. You think dying of COVID's bad. Oh, it's nothing. I'll tell you. What's your name again there?
my name is Janine.
Oh, Janine. And they changed the girl who asks the questions, because it used to be Sandra.
No, it's always been me, Pat.
Oh, you look different today.
Yeah, Pat, I decided I wear green. Usually I wear blue.
Oh, okay, Sandra. I mean, Janine, oh, I'm a little can someone bring me my medication? I'm feeling a little confused. I'm 90. How old, Sia?
90 on the dot.
90, number of the gods. I mean, God. Yeah. What did I say there? Strike that, please. Did I say gods? I'm going to burn in hell. Oh, I feel my ass.
And mind you. Oh, no. Probably at this point, he's speaking from just being rolled off his private jet and rolled into the studio and doing.
This guy is something else. So he says it's because of see, it's you and the rest of the gays that are going to. That's the reason we've got COVID.
And 600,000 odd people still watch this every single day.
Oh, they love it. It's huge. It's the biggest channel in America.
I get how the leaders like this are thriving in a moment like this. Yeah. I found myself watching an interview of a young girl, now a young woman, who grew up in a cult-like home like this. You know, her name is Tara Westover, if you're interested, and she wrote this book called Educated. And her whole life story is basically how education and learning more about the world outside of her home helped her realize how screwed up her whole life was. And she speaks about how her father would year after year say, this is the time, the world is ending, let's repent, don't talk to people from outside the farm. And she she explains how they had peaches and applesauce stocked up 10 years in advance.
Yeah, preppers. Well, Pat's got a whole room in his mansion where it's an underground bunker, and Pat has 9 million cans of peaches, and he likes pudding, so he's got some long life pudding down there for, you know, because don't have teeth anymore. And I must tell you, this is the end times. You have brought this upon yourself, and there is great suffering coming for you because of the gays.
Oh, please.
The gays and their nonstop ass-fucking that is bringing back this terrible...
and our well-decorated home and our paisley shirts.
And your excellent taste. And the fact that you dress better than I do.
All the fun we have.
All those orgies. All those gay pride parades. Those things are just a magnet for the devil. And he brought COVID because he wants you to suffer, and all of us have to suffer with you for tolerating you in our midst.
Oh, please.
So great. Yeah.
Guys.
Yeah.
Speaking of cults, have you heard this podcast called Heaven's Gate?
No. What is that?
Oh, you know, whenever you speak about podcasts for me, I'm already opening my app going, okay, I'm here to download.
Tell me.
Guys.
Go on.
Heaven's Gate is about a cult.
Yeah.
And it's all the various, so it's about 10 episodes long. And it's all about getting into the cult. And the guy that actually hosts it also grew up in a cult. So Glenn Washington also grew up in a cult. Mm. It is insane, guys. And in the fourth episode, he tells the story of his growing up in a cult, Glenn, and how he got out of it. Ooh-wee, people are living a parallel life out there, y'all.
Oh, here's the first description. In 1997, 39 people took their own lives in an apparent mass suicide.
Wow.
The events captivated the media and had people across the planet.
I don't want to listen to stuff like that during this pandemic.
But you must.
No, I'll listen to it afterwards when things are a little more normal.
You see, no.
It's like, I don't want to watch The Walking Dead now. I don't want to watch any of those apocalyptic, you know.
This is when you watch that shit, yo, to give you perspective. Mm. To give you perspective on how normal life is right now.
Oh, yeah.
Because, first of all, what's that other, there's that Will Smith movie with him and the dog, right?
I Am Legend.
I Am Legend, yeah.
So, y'all aren't living in I Am Legend times.
Yet.
No, yeah, but I don't want to...
I'm joking.
I didn't even like that movie when it came out because it frightened the hell out of me. Remember all those people that turn into these translucent creatures that live under the ground and they can't go into the light?
Yes.
Oh my God. And every time he'd move anywhere, there'd be one of these goddamn things in a passage or down a dark tunnel. It frightened the hell out of me. I'm not afraid to admit I am a complete pussy when it comes to movies like that. I can't watch them, and I'm certainly not watching them now on my own.
Well, then, I have something diluted for you. Louis Theroux, he's got Going Clear. If you haven't seen that, you haven't lived yet. And did you ever watch King of Queens?
Yes.
It was a sitcom. No. Anyway, yes. So the lead female there is a lady called Leah Remini.
Oh, yes. She used to be a what is it, Scientologist?
Yeah. Correct. And she's got she did a show with Joe Rogan. So if you go listen to her podcast.
Yeah, I've heard that.
And then she's got her own show as well. But Louis Theroux, Going Clear, is phenomenal.
What is he?
And that's also Scientology.
Go into these cults? Oh, Scientology in particular.
Yeah, no, but it's phenomenal. I mean, you know Louis Theroux.
Ooh, and that how's that guy who's in charge of Scientology? What's his name? Miscavige.
David Miscavige. So there's,
Muscovy,
if you haven't seen.
What do they call him? They don't call him Miscavige. It's got some other pronunciation, but wow.
Well, I don't know, but Joe Rogan does one with Miscavige's dad as well, which is unbelievable.
Oh!
Okay. Yeah, that is
that I'll listen to.
Yeah, all we'll right, put well, that up on the podcast.
You know what I've been listening to? The super nerd in me, the turbo nerd in me took over the weekend. In fact, it took over early last week. And I started down a path. There's a New Zealand, you know, Radio New Zealand does these podcast series. And I like to listen to a lot of podcasts from all over the world. I've never listened to New Zealand. So this is the one that I started listening to last week. But the accent is so horrible. I mean, God bless these two. Listen, I love these two. They're really cool. The one woman is the producer of the show, and then the guy who they get as the expert is like a professor of chemistry, so you can see why I got onto this. But the accents are just so bad. So let me just play this for you, and you get an idea of what I mean. Because there's something about that New Zealand accent that just puts me off incredibly. So we'll get to this, and then we've got to do the five things you need to know. But listen, so here's Radio New Zealand, all right, RNZ. And then you can hear the guy and the girl. Her accent's much worse than his. So
this is an RNZ podcast.
Podcast, right? So this is what I've been listening to the whole fucking weekend. So this is in my head the whole time. I wake up when I go to sleep.
And welcome to Elemental from RNZ.
All right, so this is all about the elements on the periodic table.
Around
right?
The periodic table.
Oh, yes.
So boring. Only I would listen to this. I'm probably their only listener outside of New Zealand. So listen to this woman. Technology.
And I'm Alison Balance. And in episode 95, we have reached the 26th letter of the alphabet, Z. And what's Z'd. More, we have not one, but two Z episodes.
Oh my God, I'm so excited. I've got two Z episodes. It's going to be great. It's just so good. I've been listening to that, and then I've been watching this series on Egyptology, because I told you I'm doing this short course from Long Island University in Egyptology. So I'm really keeping... Don't you love that stuff, Pumi?
Gareth! Yeah. I was going to tell you, because you did Catherine the Great, right?
Yes.
On the history podcast, Blind History. While you're doing the Egyptology, there is an Egyptian empress who, one of the first, was long before Cleopatra, was a woman.
Hatshepsut.
Hatshepsut. You need to do a blind history on her. She was magnificent.
No, she was. She was incredible.
I forgot really? About her 2 weeks ago.
And she was. She built that incredible temple. She's got a temple out in the Valley of the Kings. You know,
absolutely.
She had to present herself as a man, even though she was a sole female ruler, and she probably put up more monumental architecture than any of the male pharaohs, except maybe Ramesses II. But she was incredible. And because they didn't even have a word for queen, they had no word to describe a female ruler. They only had, you know, the pharaoh's wife and pharaoh's first wife and pharaoh's great
concubines.
Yeah, right. But they didn't have a word for it. So she said, you know what, just keep calling me pharaoh. It's fine. I'll put on a fake beard and all that stuff. And you can depict me in all the
all the murals.
Yeah, you can depict me as a man, but they still showed her as sort of this androgynous, and you could see it was a woman. But you know, Egypt was like, yeah, cool, we don't mind this. Very, very interesting civilization that way more advanced in some ways than we are even now.
I expect a Blind History podcast on her soon.
You got it. No problem. I knew exactly who you were talking about before you even started, and she's definitely worthy of attention. All right, so let's do the five things you need to know this morning. Some headlines before we get to Anthea. Busy morning on a Tuesday, as you know. Let me just see what this is. Oh, the DA has laid a criminal... Sorry, I don't even know what the story is, and I'm already knocking. The DA has laid a criminal complaint against KwaZulu-Natal Premier Sithole Zikalala for allegedly contravening lockdown. This is such a cheap...
Because of that awful video.
Yeah, it's such a cheap political game, but I understand because, you know, the government are so keen to have people arrested if they break lockdown. So apparently the Premier led a Freedom Day commemoration at the Clarewood Hospital in Durban, where he's apparently pulled essential workers out of their duties and held a mini rally. Now, obviously, that's irresponsible, so I'm not going to defend him. But the DA couldn't wait for this. So the DA laid a complaint at the Clarewood Police Station. Meanwhile, the provincial government says the event was in honor of frontline workers. The provincial government of KwaZulu-Natal notes with dismay the statement by the Democratic Alliance that it had organized a rally. The Premier conducted an inspection in loco to assess the progress the province is making in ensuring facilities are ready for quarantine and isolation. So they had a big excuse lined up. But either way, this is, you know, these two political parties are not covering themselves in glory. And frankly, neither are the EFF at the moment.
No one is.
No, that none of them know what to do. They're running around like headless chickens. Now they're telling on each other. And it's just none of it's productive and none of it is positive and none of it is helpful to ordinary people. And you know what's so funny, Pums, is that these politicians are going to have to change the way they do political rallies too. Because if, remember, this continues, we've got municipal elections, you know, and local elections coming up. So they're not going to be able to go out and hold big rallies in stadia and things like that. That's very old school in any case. I always thought that that was a bit of a dumb way to do things. You know, bus people in and give them a free T-shirt and then they'll vote DA or ANC or EFF. So now they're going to have to do it differently.
You see all the protests happening in the US because they, unlike us, actually have remote voting facilities in some states, not all states and not all districts.
Yeah.
But now they're all pushing for remote voting to be more accessible to more areas and more people because of the pandemic. I think it's going to be very fascinating because C19 is going to be with us. The Rona is going to be with us for a while, guys. It's going to be with us for a while.
Yes, I'm afraid so.
The Rona.
Here, while we're on the Rona, South African company Licello Labs, who was cut out of a R1 million COVID-19 testing deal in Lesotho, could face legal action with the Lesotho newspaper for allegedly spreading fake news. The reporter said an official of the company said it had confirmed 4 corona cases in the country, but the company has denied this. Lesotho's Minister of Health, Nkaku Kabi, said that the World Health Organization said the National Institute for Communicable Diseases is the only one who can do tests in Lesotho, but hasn't confirmed any cases in the Mountain Kingdom. Of course, that doesn't mean there aren't any. It just means they can't confirm any, right?
Lesotho's got real problems, guys.
I know that. They have a prime minister that he stepped down, right?
He's still in the process of.
He's because of, you see, what C19 has done for all sorts of people, including our very own CR17, is it's given a whole lot of politicians a new lease on life. Believe it or not, including that one.
That one, Tom Tabane. So apparently there's some controversy about the company who's going to charge the country R18 million for 50,000 tests, but they've canned the proposal saying such a big contract wouldn't be awarded without procurement. So somewhere between corruption and COVID-19, there lives this nice area where politicians who are impure and who are, as Pat Robertson would say, sinful, they can find...
Oh, that's the sweet spot.
Sinful. They will find a way to pull this money out of the public. And then the Joburg Metro Police Department has apologized for leaving some officers without PPE and for a payroll error shorting many of their members of their salaries. JMPD officers says they were told to buy their own masks. Some of the officers say they were told to buy their own masks and gloves to protect themselves while carrying out their duties and forcing compliance with national lockdown regulations. So they had to put out a statement, and Wayne Minnar admitted the Metro Police were not prepared at the beginning of the outbreak, and So that's
now bad. You know how bad the budgets of those Metro Police must be without all the roadblocks and all the jojo they usually get.
Oh, good point.
Oh, they're so bored.
And now to not get your bloody salary. Yeah.
Some cold drink money.
And then the French Formula One, Bulelo, you'll know about this. The French Formula One, scheduled for 28th June at Le Castellet, has been cancelled due to the COVID-19 pandemic, while spectators will not be allowed at the British Grand Prix in July either, organizers said. Formula One season has yet to start. The French race at the Southern Circuit is the 10th to be hit by coronavirus. Given the evolution of the situation linked to the spread of COVID-19, the French Grand Prix takes note of the decisions and have decided it is impossible to maintain our event. So that's been cancelled too.
Yeah, that's becoming a mess. And Formula One's unique. It's not like you take a soccer team with 30 coaches and things. Remember, Formula One teams are like 110 deep for each team. And then you got to get around 4 or 5 cars. Oh, goodness.
Well, it's a waste of money, and it's a stupid thing to... I've always thought Formula One was stupid, and now thank you, coronavirus. You've got something cancelled that I don't care about at all, so... I'm not too happy about that.
I say Grand Prix is that is some
okay, Pat.
That is a sinful event with horrible, evil sinners and bad, nasty, unchristian people who race cars at ungodly speeds around those tracks. Heaven is never going to be open for them. Hell's mouth is wide open, waiting to swallow those Grand Prix drivers up. It's going to chew on their insides and then spit them out. Those disgusting, sinful, evil doers. I'm telling you.
But Pat, just a question, Pat. It wasn't when you got the F1, the Ferrari mechanics and the Maserati mechanics to reconfigure your wheelchair, that wasn't sinful, right?
No, because that is what we call an essential service. Yeah.
And doing God's work, allowing him to move around like that.
Thank you, young lady. What is your name that you are such a sweet, kind woman who understands my problems?
Pumelele.
Pumelele. That sounds like a lottery. Is that lottery? Is that part of the national lottery? You know, I don't support the lottery because they help a lot of gay organizations. I do not support them.
Yes. Yes. You know those balls jumping around, get the gays going.
Hey, by the way, one last quick headline before we get too excited about that. Here's the last headline, and I saw him striding into his office yesterday. Boris is back. He said he's healthy, and he said he's very grateful to the British people for heeding a month of stay-at-home orders. And he's back in the office, and he says, "I'm sorry, I've been running around. There's been a lot going on, and then I had to lie down for a long time. But now I'm back in the office and doing a lot of things. Can you see how busy my hands are? Look at how busy. Look at my eyes. Look at my hands. Very busy, 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 busy. Working for the British people and getting the NHS, which we all love. The NHS. It's the most marvelous thing. If the NHS were a person, we'd all want to have sex with it. It's just marvelous." So he's back in the driving seat, Boris Johnson. What a nutcase. So I'm very happy to welcome to the show this morning Anthea Gardner, who we have every week with, the money shot. And it wouldn't be Anthea if we didn't play her song. So we've got to play a little bit of this. Right, it's the slow version of She Works Hard for the Money. Anthea, nice to speak to you. Always is. Lots to talk about this morning. But first, let's kick off with a question, because you were actually asked a question by somebody a couple of weeks ago, and we just haven't got around to answering it. And I don't want to be accused of ignoring our audience. So go ahead.
Good morning, Gareth. Yeah, so somebody sent us an email asking why the stock market remains open for business during this crisis. And I must say, I did have to think about it a bit. But the first reaction, or the first thing I know for sure, is that we do have circuit breakers in place which actually halt trading of stocks if they fall too far. So all the exchanges have their individual rules and regulations. For example, if a share falls 15, and it's also slightly dependent on whether the share is liquid or not, or whether it's a big cap or a small cap or mid cap. And so, for example, if the share falls between 15%, then they actually stop trading on the share, and it goes into what we call an auction for 15 minutes. So nothing happens on the share for 15 minutes. You can put in your bids and offers. And at the end of the 15 minutes, the bids and offers match at whatever level kind of the buyers and sellers there are, the number of buyers and sellers there are. And then the share starts trading again. Another 10%, they hold trading again for 15 minutes. And if after the second reopening, it falls another 10%, then they stop trading for the day. So it's really kind of, I think, if you were to say, why don't we stop trading in the stock markets completely, because you've seen everybody's panicking about this 35, 40% drop we've had in the stock market, the problem would be you wouldn't know where to stop it. So that's the first problem. So let's say the market fell 10% and you stop trading. Mm-hmm. At what stage, like, not all markets fall perfectly in tandem. So what stage do all the markets stop? And of course, we've got shares like Anglo, which are listed in South Africa, in the US, and in the UK. So when do you stop trading that share?
But if there was a way to do that, I'm not saying that there is, because clearly it would be very difficult to figure out. But if there was a way to do that, would you be in favor of it? Or do you think it's a terrible idea?
I think it's a terrible idea, because if a share fell 10%, or if the market fell 10%, you stop trading and said, okay, until the corona crisis is over, we're going to keep the stock market closed. I feel like you'd miss out. You know, already on the JSE, the stock market has bounced from the trough 31%. I don't really want to be missing out on that, to be honest. So
right.
I'm quite happy to take the downside as well as the upside. You know, I've always said it's not a perfect straight line up.
And who would close it? I mean, would it be the JSE in this country, which is a company, a listed company itself? Or would it would it be government? I mean, we don't know who has the authority to do this, and I would frankly rather have nobody do it. I'm with you.
So the JSE has authority to stop trading completely or in shares, and they also make trading regulations. Right. So if you wanted to go to because the stock market is there to raise capital. So if you wanted to go, let's say you wanted to list Cliff Central because you needed money to expand offshore, you would then go to the stock market and say, I'm going to sell 50% of, or 49%, because you want to have control, 49% of Cliff Central, you pay me shares, I'm going to use the money that you gave me to expand my business offshore, or wherever I want to expand.
Right.
So that's what the stock market's purpose is. And the JSE actually makes those regulations. They'll say, you need X amount of cash or so much liquidity in your business. They want to see your business plan. They want to know why you want to list. So it's quite a mission to list a company. But the point is, you go to the stock market to raise capital. Mm-hmm. And then people like us go to the stock market, investors. As investors, we go to the stock market to raise or to make a return, or to make a return above inflation on our money. You know, there's one thing kind of earning your salary every month, but to take that money and then make a higher than inflation return on it, so that in future you've got more money, is another thing. I mean, you could put it under your mattress, but then you would be losing out every year. In our case, 4.5%. You because inflation would eat into it.
I'm happy with your explanation, and thank you for doing a little research around that, Anthea, because we do have smart people who ask smart questions on the show, and it's sometimes interesting to hear why some of these things that we just take for granted, we think are so fundamental to the economy, might actually be just nonsense. But that's a good question, so thank you very much for it. Okay, let's talk a little bit this morning about some of the speaking of the JSE, some volatile stuff happening over there. And you say you might even be getting used to this volatility.
Yeah, I don't know. It's quite weird. Like in the beginning, I was completely freaked out when the market fell 3% or 3.5% in a day and then bounced back 4%. Now I'm just like, oh, okay, it is what it is. The new normal, I guess. But again, last week, the market ended higher, only 0.5% higher, or barely 0.5% higher. But still, you know, it wasn't a big negative move down last week. Same volatility as always. And I think what's happening now is that even though a lot of investors are saying we expect another leg down in the stock market, I mean, nobody knows, right? And so, but actually what we're really worried about. So as I said earlier, I don't mind taking the downside with the upside, but I think what we're really worried about now is missing on the upside. And that's what's keeping the market up. So investors are going, well, if I'm not invested in this market, then, and it's already bounced 31% from the trough, missed out. So I need to be in this market. And I think that's what it is. We see new investors coming into the market.
All right.
The Rand's concerned.
Yeah, tell me about the Rand.
We hit a new all-time low last week again, 19.10 to the US dollar. But I've just checked this morning and we're back at 18.83. So you see, this volatility, it's just nonstop, but hey, we're just going to deal with it. And I think what happened last week was that the president came out and announced his 500 billion rand relief package, and the market got really nervous because everyone was thinking, okay, so where are you going to get this 500 billion rand? You're going to have to borrow. The country is already so heavily indebted. Does that mean we're more indebted now that you're going to have to borrow? And not only that, but this 500 billion is not really a stimulus package. Huh? So it's more of a survival package. You know, it's not so that companies can grow and that they can employ more people. It's so that people can keep their companies going so that they can survive through this crisis.
Well, it's also at very basic levels, it's also just to give people enough money to find something to eat. It's that bad.
Pure survival. And so it's not going to help grow the economy. It's just going to keep people alive and employed, hopefully, and carrying on.
Can we just talk quickly about the because this Rand is obviously something that everybody's thinking about, and you say it's volatile, but I mean 1880 something is still terrible compared to where we were at the start of this year. But the land bank is something that we don't really discuss much on the show. But the Land Bank is an SOE, and it's 100% owned by National Treasury, guaranteed by the South African government. They just defaulted on their last payment, which means that there is now 13 billion rand outstanding for maturity between September and October this year. What does that mean? That's not good news. The Land Bank, another SOE that's been mismanaged?
Yes, and unfortunately, this is one of the better SOEs, you know, and it's an important SOE. Because really, they're the guys who look after agribusiness. And they've turned around, and initially we thought that they had missed a payment on a loan, which was not the outstanding debt to us, the investors. It was something else that they had specifically to one company. But we thought there potentially would be a cross default. In other words, if they can't pay one loan, then they surely are not going to be allowed to pay other debt outstanding. And then they said, no, it won't happen. It's fine. And then last week, they came out and said, actually, they will be defaulting. So it really is a true default.
Right.
And if you can't, and the whole point about buying kind of government guaranteed debt is because, as I've said before on other shows, that if government need to repay debt, all they have to do is print more money. And even though that's not good for inflation or the rand, you know, you don't ultimately want that, but they shouldn't ever default. They shouldn't ever not pay us back the money they borrowed from us.
So let's just chalk this up as another disastrous SOE. But before we do that, SAA is just not dying. I mean, yesterday was D-Day in terms of them being bailed out again or not. And it seems that they're not being bailed out, which means essentially they're going to go into liquidation. Can we finally say goodbye to this parasitic, unhelpful, and quite useless extra arm of the state-owned enterprises? Is it time up already? Is it over already? Or do we still have a long journey ahead, Anthea?
I believe it's time up. But honestly, I'm with you. I'm like, what is going on? Why is no one actually calling it? Although I did see a video yesterday of a couple of airplanes doing a flyby at OR Tambo as kind of the last goodbye to SAA. And I don't know if it's fake or if it's real. But so you're also confirming that yesterday was supposed to be D-Day. And I haven't heard anything to the contrary.
I just wish they'd close the coffin on this goddamn zombie and just let us move on with our lives, you know?
Yeah, it's a sad state of affairs, but we need that money for other things right now. So, yeah.
Well,
call it.
Thank you.
So, Anthea, I'm not going to let you get away with the print more money saga statement, because it's something that's like really on the minds of South Africans. Tito Mboweni last week, the stimulus package. Tell us again why printing more money is a bad idea.
Zimbabwe, in one word.
There you go.
Okay, Anthea, you do this one.
Anthea, just explain it to like everybody else, please.
But Gareth is spot on, Zimbabwe, because the more money you print, the less valuable it becomes. It's a supply and demand issue. Think of it like a supply and demand issue. And before, what used to happen was you could only print the exact amount of money, cash, that you had or put into the system. I mean, it's not always printed money. You know, there's different types of money. There's also credit and that sort of thing. But you could only print the amount of money that you had to the value of gold in the state vaults. But we don't use that metric anymore. But the theory still holds. You can't just be going out and printing as much money as you want, because it will devalue your money.
And that leads to hyperinflation, which leads to Zimbabwe and Venezuela, where people are carrying, you know, wheelbarrows full of money into shops to buy three rolls of toilet paper.
That's exactly right.
Because the money is so worthless. And it seems to me that, you know, this is one of the reasons that what cryptocurrencies and gold have taught me, and I by no means say that those are two of the best ways to manage any kind of currency or any kind of value, but they've taught me that if you don't have scarcity, if there isn't a cap on how much of a total amount there is in the system, then you may as well just assign some arbitrary value to each unit in that system, and it doesn't anymore matter what people have or don't have. The whole idea of value is extinguished.
That's right. And so with gold and cryptocurrency, this impact or this lack of an underlying asset that gives it value other than speculative potential in the future is a very it's a difficult thing to value. It's difficult to put a price on it, if you like. And it's the same thing, you know, you're giving gold and cryptocurrency a bad name, but it's the same thing with IT companies in 2000. When internet companies were being valued at ridiculous valuations, even though they were not generating any revenue.
Right.
And of course, we saw what happened there. Right? It all
And people go, well, actually, I don't want anything to do with any of this, because there's no way that I'm sinking my hard-earned capital that I've made from blood, sweat, and toil into something that I know people are just going to assign arbitrary values to. Why would anyone invest in something like that? Why would anyone invest in a country like that? It's a disaster.
And that's why cryptocurrency, the cryptocurrency that Facebook did, they actually have underlying assets or cash on hand to give that crypto value. So if we just keep printing money as a country and we don't have an underlying value, we're not producing, we don't have anything to sell to that value, well, then it's speculative.
All right. I'm afraid that's all we've got time for. Anthea, thank you very much. That's The Money Shot with Anthea Gardner. You can find that episode and all the others. We didn't even get to the companies that are putting out trading statements, so we'll have to save that. But there's so much news going on at the moment that I'm glad we rather answered Pumi's question and the question about the JSE shutting down. And if you want to ever get hold of us during the show, you can message us right now if you'd like. You can send us a message on 079-748-2090. Just like this one. Apparently that video is fake, Anthea. SAA is still hanging in there. That flypast was for the president's inauguration a few months ago. So the zombie is still very much crawling around O.R. Tambo.
The zombie.
It's a zombie. That's what it is now. All right, so we got lots to talk about and lots of things to get to in the next hour, including Blind History, Season 3, Episode 7. Pumi brought up Blind History earlier, and we'll have to get into that. We'll talk about some of the other things that you're going through at the moment. The last week of Level 5 lockdown, but by no means the end of lockdown. And I saw that there were comments opened up over the weekend. If you wanted to make comments that would help government and inform government about what you'd like to see happen.
The email addresses.
Yeah, I sent comments just in case. I thought, you know, if they're asking for people, we must be good citizens. And by being a good citizen, that doesn't mean you just obey the law. It means you also, when government asks for comment, you
what was your comment?
Let's escalate this coming out of lockdown so that we can get people back to work and we can start the economy up again. Otherwise, we're going to have much bigger problems than a disease. That's all I said. And I wasn't sarcastic or any of that stuff. I said, let's move this along. From level 4, let's go quickly to level 3, then 2, then 1, and get everybody back, except the ones who are vulnerable. So hopefully, I mean, I don't know if it does anything, but I just did it because otherwise I don't have any right to complain.
Yeah, it was sad, and I guess it really hits home up until it happens very close to you. When I saw someone on my Facebook over the weekend who's a hairdresser, trying to implore more hairdressers to also send in their comments over the weekend, because they were saying, please just send in your comments to make sure that hairdressers and hairstylists are also listed as a level 4 workforce. But it's like, oof.
I don't see why they shouldn't be allowed to do what they do. You take your life in your hands. If you want to go and sit there in a salon with maybe a few other people in it and you want to have your hair cut like I do, I'm prepared to take the chance of getting COVID-19, and I don't need anyone to be my big brother. And I'm sure there are lots of us who feel the same way at the moment. Plus, those hairdressers, I mean, you talk about hairdressers, but it could be any other kind of job too. Those people are desperate to get back.
Like the people that do our nails.
Yeah, Pumi. You know, those people are looking at an empty bank account tomorrow, huh? And then their debit orders are going to come off an empty bank account, and we all know how frightening that is. Frightening. That's where the reality hits home. It's not a holiday, what we're going through. All right, so when we come back, we'll get into all of those things. If you want to comment, 079-748-2090, cliffcentral.com.
I just want you to see this.
What's that? What's this thing I'm seeing?
Can you see my nails?
Oh, my God, they look horrendous. What's going on there? You need that nail bar.
I was waiting.
No acetone.
Gareth, I was waiting for you to try and sidestep it. Like, they look so interesting.
Horrendous. I mean, that's a couple of weeks of growth there, Pumi, that we need to sort out.
Exactly. Yes, my dear, exactly 6.
Oh, my God.
6 weeks of growth.
All right, we'll come back with a whole lot more. CliffCentral.com live Tuesday morning, the day after Freedom Day and the last week of Level 5 lockdown. Thanks for listening to CliffCentral.com. Podcasts of all our shows are always available on the website, the Cliff Central app, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.